But we want to read two passages of scripture this morning. First of all, let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And thereafter, I would like to read Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, beginning from verse 23. Matthew 6, and then Matthew 18, beginning from verse 23. Matthew 6, I just like to read that part, which is the Lord's Prayer. Verse 9, after this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Then Matthew chapter 19, chapter 18. Beginning from verse 23, here we have the parable of the unmerciful servant. Matthew 18 verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison, till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one of his brother their trespasses. Amen. We're looking at the Lord's Prayer, and this morning we want to look at verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 11, we saw the last time that here the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us to pray for our daily earthly needs. And the first thing he teaches us is that we need to pray for our daily bread, because that is what we need in life. By daily bread, we mean more than just money, shelter, food. We mean also spiritual graces to live for Jesus Christ. But then the next thing that we need in verse 12 is forgiveness. Not only forgiveness from God for our sins, but notice in the text, also a forgiving spirit, that we may learn how to forgive others, just as God has forgiven us. Rather than look at God's forgiveness of our sins, this morning, I want to look at the second part of verse 12. Forgiving our debtors. Learning to forgive those who have done evil against us. Now the first thing, of course, that strikes you when you think about this is that this is a very difficult thing to do. And even as a pastor, I must admit that this goes against our human nature to learn how to forgive others. This past week there was a controversy in the newspaper. There was a communist leader, Xi Jinping, who was of course one of those communist leaders who led troops of communist volunteers to fight against the British. And now in Malaysia they are intending to release him, to free him, to take him back to society. And there were protests, and there was anger. And the front page of Straits Times, there was this person who commented, "I cannot forgive him." And he said, "This man murdered my father and my mother and my brother and my sister. My family was murdered by his brutality. How can I forgive him?" Jesus says about forgiveness, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Now the first thing we want to look at is the need to forgive others. Then secondly, the blessing of forgiving others. And then finally, learning to forgive others. Jesus here teaches us about forgiveness. Notice that in this text, sin is a debt. A debt that needs to be forgiven. A debt that needs to be cancelled. And here in this text, notice that there are two debts. First of all, the debt that we owe to God. We owe to God obedience. And sin as a debt needs to be punished. It needs to be forgiven. If not, we will forever be owing to God. We can never pay back the obedience that we owe to God all our lives. Then secondly, notice that also there is a debt that others owe to us. And the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ here is that we learn as well to forgive others and to drop the charge, the debt that others owe to us. The offenses, the anger, the rage, and the many sins. So when we pray, "Forgive us our debts," we are asking God here in this text, "Oh God, take away that debt of sin. Cancel that away so that I am free and that I don't owe you anything." And in such a prayer, what we really pray for is God's mercy and compassion and God's love. And this was how David prayed in Psalm 51. "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And so when we pray this prayer, this is not a technical prayer, it's not a mechanical prayer, it's a pleading for mercy. "Be merciful to me, a sinner." Now the question is, are you also merciful to others? This is the challenge of the text. It is so easy to turn to God in the moment of your sin and say, "God, I need your mercy." But when it is you who have been hurt and victimized by others, how easy is it for you to be merciful to others? Now let me give you several reasons why you need to forgive others. Number one, God commands it. God commands it. For any one of you this morning who has a revenging spirit, God says in Romans chapter 12, vengeance is mine. Do not take revenge. The mandate for every Christian person is to respond to evil with love, with compassion and forgiveness. It is very easy when you are victimized in that situation to fight back. And this is something that we Chinese love to do. A tooth for a tooth, 以牙还牙. The Chinese mentality of 报仇, revenge. But Jesus Christ says so many times, that's not the way to live with revengeful spirit. We have to respond with love and forgiveness. But so many times, so many places in the scriptures, God reveals himself to us as a forgiving God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. This is the second reason why you need to forgive others. Because we need to forgive just as God has forgiven us. You see that in Ephesians, let's turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Verse 31 tells us, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake had forgiven you. And the reason why we need to be forgiving is that this is the way how God deals with us. If God is to deal with us according to our sins, we will perish. But rather than to pour down his anger upon us, he poured his anger upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he gives us forgiveness. And now he wants us to deal tenderly, kindly, not with cruelty, to others. And that is why in Matthew chapter 5, when Jesus teaches us to imitate God in the way he deals with others, Jesus says, love your enemies. Number three, why you need to learn how to forgive others. The man who injured you, who did evil to you, actually, really, need your sympathy, need your love. It's easy for me to say that. Easy for us to think about all these things. What I'm saying here is that the man who has done evil to you need your sympathy, need your love and kindness. Romans chapter 13 verse 8, and this of course is the mandate of love that is given to every Christian. Romans chapter 13 verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And then here of course Paul is speaking about loving your enemies. Don't fight back with revenge, but rather with sympathy and with love. In other words, rather than seeing the person as an enemy, you begin to see him as a sinner who needs the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in such a conflicting, tense situation, the way to make that love visible is to be forgiving. The way to make God's love so concrete so that others can see is to be forgiving. Number four, why we need to be forgiving to others? It is sinful to harbor a grudge against another person. And you and I know it, because when you are unforgiving, the unforgiveness fills your life and your soul with rage and bitterness and resentment. And you become so ineffective in your Christian witness and service. Now, of course, it means that your day is spoiled. It ruins your day. But the moment you turn to be gracious and you love that person in the face of Jesus Christ, you let go of your anger and your resentment, because now you deal graciously even to such a hostile person. It is sinful to harbor a grudge. Number five, the result of forgiveness is always reconciliation. Now, forgiveness, of course, is the act in which you say to that person, I no longer charge you for that offense. I put that away. Let's be friends again. And that is how God deals with us when God declares us righteous in Jesus Christ. In this doctrine that we love so much as Reformed people, justification by faith alone, really the essence of the teaching is forgiveness. God declares to us that your sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ, and God deals with you in a manner that is peaceful, treating you not as an enemy, putting peace in your heart. And forgiveness always do this. It heals a broken relationship. It brings two persons who have been ruined by sin together. Now this past week, of course, there was in the press a very famous personality in Singapore who was sued by her own mother. I'm sure some of you must have read that case. She was unable to buy a house on her own, and so the mother came up with some CPF money, bought that house for the daughter. Mother wanted the money back. Daughter did not want to give. Mother tried to communicate, no response. Finally, after years, the mother said, I will sue my daughter. Take her to court. There was hatred, animosity, and rage and anger, and unforgiveness can damage even a most loving relationship. And when they were about to go to court, the diary of the mother was discovered. They read it. And the daughter read the diary. And in all these years when the mother was doing that, she did it with love. As a mother to her daughter. And so they sat together in the home. They wept with tears. They hugged, they embraced one another, because they were willing now to forgive one another. The relationship was healed. Forgiveness is powerful. So powerful that God gave His only Son to bring that forgiveness. Number six, why you need to forgive others, and you should do that. The text tells us later on that if you do not forgive others, you cannot experience the forgiveness of God. We will be forgiven if we forgive others. Striking, isn't it? In the Lord's Prayer, after Jesus in verse 13 said, Amen, there's one thing He wants to say again. He wants to explain. Not about sanctifying God's name, not about thy kingdom come, not about giving daily bread, not about escaping temptations, but Jesus felt that He needs to come back to this thing in the Lord's Prayer, forgiveness. And so in verse 14 He says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you forgive not men their trespasses, don't expect your Father in heaven to forgive you. And this is the blessing now that we want to speak about. There's blessing in forgiving others. One of the greatest blessings in life is to receive God's forgiveness. You know the common proverb, to err is human, to forgive is divine. There are two things in this common proverb. There's a human factor. To err is human. Every one of us make mistakes. Some mistakes are extreme criminal offenses. But we all make mistakes. And therefore, knowing our sinful tendencies and our human nature, we must never be surprised at what we do in our life, the evil potential that we have, and the sinful things that we do. And therefore we should even never be surprised when we read in the press that a father murdered his wife, killed his own children, and jumped to death. Because when we are unforgiving, when we are controlled by sin, we become irrational. We lose our reasoning, our common sanity. But we shouldn't be surprised. To err is human. But in this common proverb, there is also a divine factor. To forgive is divine. And this is the blessing of forgiveness. God is a forgiving God. Faithful in His love, tender in His kindness, forgiving in the way He deals with us. He forgave Moses, who led the people of God in the Old Testament with rage and anger, struck the stone in his anger, sinned against the people of God. God forgave him. God forgave David, who should be the example to the people of Israel as one who is a godly king. Committed adultery, murdered a man, but God forgives him. Jesus is a forgiving Savior. To the adulteress who was caught red-handed, and the Pharisees came and said, "What should we do to her?" With the intention that she should be condemned and stoned to death. Jesus said to the crowd, "Ready to pour out blood upon this adulteress. Any one of you, without a sin, take the first stone and stone her." Jesus said to the adulteress, "Where are the men? Where are your accusers? Go and sin no more." God is forgiving. And one of the richest blessings is to experience that forgiveness. David wrote Psalm 32. Let's turn to Psalm 32 and read something about the joy and the happiness of forgiveness. Psalm 32. Notice the spirit in which now David wrote this psalm, verse 1 and 2. "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." Then verse 11, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." Now the background to this psalm is important. David for 1 year kept silence. He thought that by keeping silent, he would be able to overcome his guilt, forget about his murder and his adultery. He kept silent in verse 3 for more than a year. But he said his bones were rotting. His soul was deteriorating. He felt rotten. But notice the joy, the excitement, the happiness that comes to him when he experiences the forgiveness. That's why forgiveness is so powerful, it's supernatural. For a man who committed murder, committed adultery, he writes in this psalm, "Happy is me who receives this forgiveness." You know what you and I would do to David? "David, I charge you for that murder. I cannot forgive you for that murder and the adultery. Happy is the man who is forgiven by God. Now the text here in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 6 verse 12 connects the blessings of forgiveness to our act of forgiving others. The text says, forgive us our debts. That is a blessing. As we forgive our debtors, that is our duty. So it connects the blessing of forgiveness with our duty to forgive others. Now this text can be easily misunderstood. This is not the case, but the Roman Catholics do teach this, that when you forgive others, it becomes a basis in which you can earn God's forgiveness in your life. Salvation is never by merits. Forgiveness is never by earning good works. Here Jesus is not teaching, when you forgive others, you earn the merits of God's forgiveness. What does it mean? It means two things. First of all, Jesus here is teaching us that it is in forgiving others that we experience God's forgiveness to us. In forgiving others, we experience God's forgiveness. When God forgives, He acts graciously. Jesus Christ on the cross took our sins, bore our guilt, was punished for our debt. And when God forgives us, He did that graciously. It is in the act of becoming gracious to others that we experience God's graciousness in life. This is what Jesus is teaching. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Because in forgiving our debtors graciously, we experience how gracious you are in dealing with us. It means this as well. When we forgive others, we are assured that we are true Christianity. How do I know that my Christianity is true? By the number of doctrines I can recite in catechism class, by how well I perform my service to God. Jesus says, if you want to know the truth of justification by faith, forgiveness, you learn to forgive others. The essence of Christianity is to be righteous in Christ, forgiveness. The demonstration of that true Christianity is your forgiving others and dealing graciously to others. God does not forgive a person who has hatred and malice and evil in life. And that is why Jesus says this. Forgive us our debts as we forgive others. A person who is unforgiving acts with malice and evil. And don't expect God to forgive you when you have such evil intentions against others. But when you forgive, you learn the forgiveness of God. And then you know what it is to receive the happiness of God's forgiveness. And then finally, we need to learn how to forgive. We need to learn how to forgive. Learning to be forgiving. And this is where I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 18 to look at the parable of the unforgiving servant. Notice what Jesus teaches here is exactly the same thing He emphasizes in verse 12 of Matthew chapter 6 about forgiveness. We read the parable. Let me tell you the parable and explain it a little bit. this king called his servants together. And now he is going to take account of those that have owed him money in life. And then finally came this person in verse 24 who owes this king 10,000 talents. Just to tell you how much that is, one talent is 1,000 pence. Denarii. One denarii is one day's wage. One talent is 1,000 denarii. 10,000 talents. The Bible says Solomon's beautiful temple was built with 8,000 talents. This is millions and millions of dollars in today's term. Incredible debt. This is the first thing you must realize. This is an incredible debt. 10,000 talents. And the debt, you notice, is unpayable. The king says to the servant, I know you cannot pay. And because of that, I will sell you away, sell your family, sell your possessions. And I believe that that is not even enough to get back the money. Now, although here the King James speaks of this as a slave and servant, he's really quite a rich servant, because this is a king. It's quite possible that this person is a provincial officer, because later on he also has debtors. Quite a rich person himself. Cannot pay the debt. Incredible amount. And so this means that his only hope is the goodness and the kindness of the king. This is his only hope. If only the king is good and kind to me, and therefore I will go to him with this plea. He says, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. He's pleading for patience, knowing that he can never pay back everything. At least be patient with me. Give me more time. I need your kindness. No monarch would do this. No king would do what this parable tells us. No king would remit this debt. But this king in this parable did. Because this is a picture of the generosity and the kindness and the grace of our great God. The king says, I will forgive you. And he forgives him the debt. Then consider the cruel unforgiveness of this servant. Verse 28, the same servant went out. And the narrative here immediately connects this cruelty with the kindness of the king. The king was kind. The next moment, immediately, this servant went out. And he went to look for his debtors. And he came to one debtor who owes him how much money? Not very much. 100 pence. And he took that debtor by the throat and forced him, pay me what you owe. And Jesus used the same words of pleading. Have patience with me. I will pay you everything. And he was so cruel, so unkind, that he took this servant to court, to jail. Not kind at all, no compassion. Cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Notice that, of course, this unmerciful servant did what was legal. And I think it's important that we consider this. It's perfectly legal for him to do this. To go to his debtor, you can't pay, go to jail. Force him by the throat. It's like what loan sharks would do if you don't pay up your money. But of course, loan shark does it illegally. He does it legally. Go to the court, put him in prison, legal. Astonishing, isn't it? What is legal, Jesus says, is morally wrong in this situation. It's not a question of legality. It's a question of love and what is moral. He may have done it legally. Jesus said, it's morally wrong. Because when you have experienced such generous forgiveness, you should respond with a forgiving spirit. Jesus, using this parable, intends to shock his disciples. It's the disciples that ask this question about forgiveness. How many times? 7 times 70. And he gave this parable. Shocking. The slave's attitude is shocking. One commentator said, it's inhuman. It's irrational. And I believe that's what unforgiveness is. It's inhuman. It's inhuman for a Christian person to be unforgiving. If God forgives so much, so freely, so generously, it's inhuman for us not to be forgiving to others. From this we can learn many things about forgiveness, learning to forgive. Number one, to be forgiving, we need to begin by understanding the incredible act of God's forgiveness. It's incredible. He put His Son on the cross to bring that forgiveness. Number two, we need also to know that in many cases, the only hope of that person is your act of kindness and your goodness. The only hope for him to continue in life, to be effective again, is your kindness and your goodness, just as in this case. Number three, to learn to be forgiving, we need to have a forgiving spirit. Even if the person does not come to you and say, what's wrong with it? I don't care. You cannot say to him, I forgive you. But there must be the forgiving spirit in the heart. Number four, forgiveness rises above our legal privileges. I want to stress this. We're such an organized, structured city. A plus B equals C. 1 plus 1, 2. But forgiveness rises above our legal privileges. What may be legal here is morally wrong, because there was no love in the action. Conclusion, forgiveness is a very difficult thing. When we are on the receiving end of mercy, you know what we say? It's a great virtue. Forgiveness is a great virtue. We celebrate that virtue when we receive forgiveness. But when we are injured and we must give that forgiveness, you know what many will say? Unfair. Forgiveness is such an unfair thing. You know what Jesus says? Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Let's pray. Oh God, teach us to be forgiving so that we may experience the kindness of your forgiveness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.